Yeah, still early, huh? So you can ask me whatever question you have, huh? Or clarify anything. We still got about 7 minutes. We are very early today. Yeah, another 6 or 7 minutes to go. Also, just a reminder, this coming Sunday will be our Kayalamita gathering lunch. So we will see you all there. I think the actual program time, we fix at 10:45 for arrival of Kayalamitas. Then you can have your fellowship early. Those who need to maybe come 10 to 15 minutes earlier to arrange for the whatever video or activity, they will be there by 10:30. Then by 11:30, exactly 11:30, we will comments. Oh no, earlier, 11:10. 11:10, we will commence our official gathering of Kayalamitas. The MC will start the ball rolling. Then after that, you have your usual program. I have sent out one tentative program, which may be fine-tuned later on. So make a note. Then we also have the address. So don't confuse with last year. This year is at Jaya Palace. Minara LYL is along the Federal Highway. You come out, you just turn left. After you turn left, the next left turn. But you go the PJ way, you have to go one round. Make sure you go the big round. Go through Newtown, then keep to your left, otherwise you will miss the junction again. Keep to your left. If you cut through in the middle of Federal Highway, you cannot go in. You have to go one more round. So just for the info of those who may not be familiar with that place. Then when you go into the car park, the restaurant is on the ground floor. You have to take a lift up. Then after you come out, you have to go in towards the end. There is an end section. You go in, you don't be surprised by people having their whatever breakfast or lunch. Then you cannot find anything. They have given us the main hall at the back. So make a note. You have to find yourself the right place. Then before the hall at the back, I think they will allocate a table for us. You can register. Then collect your books. We will bring along most of the books so that you all can go through. Whoever who don't have or you need to bring back for your colleague or your friend, you can collect them. Okay. We still got 3 minutes. Anybody got any question? Otherwise, you can just silence your mind and develop the meditation. Okay, we can get ready for puja. You want to on the recorder? Oh, the recorder is on. Okay, so we can get ready for puja. Today is the 15th October 2017, Sunday. We are having our 59 lesson of the Six Patriarch Black Bomb Sutta. Wu Ping Jing section 11. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sada, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipano Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panati pata viravani sikha padang samadhiyami Adina dana viravani sikha padang samadhiyami Kamesu michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramairaya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. We will now pay respect to Triple J. Buddhang Pujjami Dhammang Pujjami ังหังพุทเจมีโอเค you all can be seated then we shall commence our six Patria platform sutta lesson number 59 turn to page 1 verse 4 opening the sutta verse 4 opening a sutta the unsurpassed profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then turn to page 289. We will continue from there. We are at the Sutta part. The last paragraph. There is a note down there. The transformation of consciousness into wisdom has been described. The teaching said the first five consciousness turn and become the perfecting wisdom. The sixth consciousness turn becomes the wonderful observing wisdom. The seventh consciousness turn becoming the wisdom of equal nature. Then the eighth consciousness turn becomes the wisdom of the great perfect mirror. So these are the four types of wisdom that the Mahayana tradition described. So this is different from the three turning wisdom because this one is based on consciousness. So without wisdom, when this mundane consciousness arises, these are all mundane consciousness. Without wisdom, you will look at it from the mundane point of view. You will have avijja or ignorance. Then without the wisdom or right understanding, self-delusion will be part of your activity of consciousness. So with self-delusion, it will condition the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's the reason why all this consciousness, they will bring about suffering, attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, leading to all the mental negativity, or you call the suffering state within the existential world. So Mahayana got a very good way of defining the consciousness. But basically, it's just the five aggregates of form and mind. You can understand it from the normal meditative awareness. When you have awareness or sati, you will understand all this description or what they call explanation within the sutta. So we will do it as a revision. The first category of consciousness are the first five sense-based consciousness. So this one is because we have our five physical senses. So what are they? Yes. Seeing, hearing, smell, then taste. Yeah. Then last one, tactile. Seeing, hearing, smell, taste, and tactile. I think by now you should be familiar with all these first five types of physical sense consciousness. So they come about through a nature's process. like the physical experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. So the light bulb is like your sense organ. The lighting up is the consciousness part. You become conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear, smell, taste, and tactile feel. So in meditation, you have to be in a state of awareness when this consciousness arises. And this is the part where most so-called Buddhist meditator or cultivator never do. They take for granted. Because since birth until now, all this consciousness that arise, you are not aware. You don't know how it happened. The real cultivation arises when you have the daily mindfulness to be aware of all this. And when you have the capability to be aware of all this sense talk, then you realize what happened is totally different from what people think. And that is the difference in developing the cultivation with understanding and without understanding. Without understanding means you have knowledge, you have theory. You just tell yourself, yeah, first five sense-based consciousness. I know, seeing, hearing, all this. But are you conscious of them when they arise? Are you mindful of them when they arise? And can you be in the silent, understand the condition behind their arising? That's why when you meditate with understanding, you can investigate, you can find out. You assume you don't know anything. Don't have any preconceived idea of who you are, what you are, and how you function. Assume you don't know. Silent everything and find out. Your meditation will become very different. Okay? Then after this first five, you will have the next one, which is they call it the sixth consciousness. Sixth consciousness. So this sixth consciousness is nothing else but perception, sajja, or perception. Whatever you come to perceive, that is your sixth consciousness. And this one involves the mind. So for this to arise, the mind has to be there. So it involves the mind. When mind come in, each and every of these sense door, they have their mental part that goes in. Because without mind making contact, it is impossible to have seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, and tactile. Then the last one is thought consciousness. So basically, this sixth consciousness is thought consciousness, but with particular emphasis on the perception part. You will perceive whatever that is within your vision, the color, shape, and form within your seeing consciousness. That perception is the sixth consciousness. You understand? Then whatever my voice, you can perceive it through the hearing consciousness. That perception of my voice is the sixth consciousness. Similarly for taste, smell, taste, and tactile, then thought consciousness. Then after the sixth consciousness, you have your seventh consciousness. And this seventh consciousness is nothing but your sankhara. That's why sankhara sanya, you always hear about this word. How many of you have read about these two words? Sankhara sanya. If you have heard about it or read about it, then if you have reflected, contemplated, and checked it in your meditation, you will understand. Throughout the day, the mundane mind, dwell on these two, sankhara sanya. Sankhara is mental activity, mental state. Mental activity can be anything that your mind can do, including your feeling and your perception. So sanya is perception. Every time it perceives through the memory, then these views, opinion and conditioning from your memory and your views, opinion and condition will stir your mind. That's why this one is the determining consciousness. This is responsible for discrimination. The seventh consciousness is responsible for discrimination. 分别心 in Mandarin. Do you understand? Yeah? This one is the one that creates duality. Duality. So in Mandarin it's called 分别心, means you discriminate, you create division. Then finally is the eighth consciousness. The eighth consciousness is also called the alaya consciousness. Alaya or store consciousness. Because through the Mahayana, all of consciousness that arise means this one is the five mental aggregates of form and mind. This one is what the Buddha talked about. So this one is the one that is responsible for all your becoming in existential world. And this is the one that accumulate. You call it the store consciousness. Every consciousness that you arise within that segmented life, and every of this segmented life when you come, the summation of all this, they are stored up within this store consciousness. But this is within nature. This is not within your brain. Your brain is tissue, memories, cells. And because of memory cells, it can arise thought consciousness. So that's why Krishnamurti, when he meditates, he understands. He understands what is thought. Thought is respond to memory. Then when consciousness has memory, it can create respond. And you call it thought. The delusion comes from the living being's inability to be mindful, to be aware, to understand what is going on. So whenever thought arises, you will have the preconceived idea that there is a thinker behind the thought. That's why the Sakkaya Ditti arises. And it's very logical, like I explained. If there is no thinker, how can thought arise? Can you see that point that people use to argue? That is the mundane aspect that uses knowledge and logic. If you meditate, you will come to understand it completely differently. There is nobody inside there. Thought arises because of natural response. From memory, it responds. That's why thought is respond to memory. And memory is the one that creates thought. Otherwise, it's just pure consciousness, pure perception. No word, nothing. Like a baby when it's born. You recall the baby without memory, without conditioning, without anything in the brain, that type of consciousness is the pure consciousness. It's very near to the true mind. It's very near. But the true mind has got nothing. The moment you are without thought, that is the true mind. The silent mind without thought is the true mind. So if you look at the 6, 7, and 8, you realize the perception of the 6 consciousness, this one is the mental form. The mental form. This one brings in the mental form. The 6 consciousness brings in the mental form. Then this one, the 7 consciousness, is actually like an organ. So when the mental form come in upon contact, what happened? It will trigger off thought consciousness. So this is like the physics experiment. So upon contact, consciousness arises. So this is like the organ. The mental form goes in, then it creates thought consciousness. Yeah. But in between, this Sankara Sanya is very active. That's why you keep on making contact in the mind. That's why our 12 link, Paticca Samuppada, it starts with what? The first link is Avijja Paccaya Sankara. What is Avijja? Ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of what? The truth, the Dhamma. So when you don't have the clear understanding of the essential Dhamma or the truth, as proclaimed by the Buddha, you have delusion or ignorance. And because of ignorance, you will create wrong thought. That's why avijja will create sankhara. Because the mind that is deluded, don't understand, have this problem. It wants to know. One thing to know, one thing to experience, it will think. It's just like in the school. If you don't understand, your teacher will tell you the same thing. Go back and think about it. A human being's problem is they thought by thinking they can understand. By thinking you have knowledge, understand or not? You cannot develop wisdom through thinking. Always remember that. You have to silent, reflect, develop awareness. Then wisdom can arise, understanding can arise. Otherwise, it will be knowledge, thought-based knowledge. So avijja paccaya sankhara, the meaning is dependent on ignorance, human being create mental activity. So mental activity is thinking. Sankhara activity, your fear, your emotion, your greed, your selfishness, your mental states, your mental intention. Whatever that your mind can do, your planning, your scheming, your whatever delusion, or emotional negativity and fear, all these are sankhara. And they come from your perception. When you perceive something that you don't understand, and through your views, opinion, and conditioning, you stir and you react, that's why you become emotional. So sanya, through memory conditioning, create sankhara, mental activity, and mental states or emotion. Then the images, everything, they are all part of sankhara. That's why sankhara sanya create a lot of delusion in you. So every moment of thinking, sankhara, is the mind making contact. Then when the mind making contact, the worst is the input of content of consciousness at the moment of perception. If you don't have right view, right understanding and wisdom, that's why I say, without yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot deal with sense door consciousness. You will react, you will stir. Yeah. Your conditioning will take over. Your views, your opinion, and your whatever belief system, tradition, all will take over. And this is how human beings fall. To me, the classification is just for basic understanding. What you have to do is to be mindful of all this and relate to what happened in life. Do you understand? See clearly how you think, how the thought arise, and how the views, opinion, and the conditioning condition your form and mind to behave that way, and how fear arise. And find out what is fear. Like the Buddha's teaching, Satipatthana Sutta. Because if you can understand that fear is not you, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, you will develop the understanding. That's why you just silent and be with it. Then you realize these are conditioned arising state. Fear was never a part of you. Greed was never a part of you. The emotion, mental states, all of sankhara movement, they were never a part of you. Where before you got anger, before you got fear or selfishness, there was none. But through your delusion, you stir and create all this evil. You're supposed to see this in your meditation, and that is meditation, not all the theory, no point. You can recite all this and follow the sutta and explain in word, no use. What is important is in your daily life, in the midst of the meditative experience. That's why you have to be ever mindful. And you see all this happening in your own form and mind. It's no more the words. It's the actual thing that happened. All this that I mentioned, you will see them. Then you will understand why the Mahayana say this seven consciousness is like an organ. That's why it's an intermediary for these two. Without the mental form, these are the three conditions that arise consciousness, remember? Mind, contact, and sense data. This mental form are sense data. This is sense data. Sense data. So when this sense data comes in, then the organ together with the mind upon contact, sense door consciousness arise. So this is sense door consciousness. Sense door consciousness. So this is how the actual mind function and arise. And these are all mundane mind. But the moment you have developed the wisdom, it becomes a different scenario. When this form and mind, you remember last time I draw? When the direct seeing allow you to develop the wisdom, when this wisdom is connected to the form and mind, then this form and mind is no longer deluded. No longer deluded. Then you can say this form of mind is enlightened, but this is not you. So the moment the wisdom is connected, what is described in the sutta can happen. You understand? Means the first five sense-based consciousness, if you have wisdom, you will see things as they are. Means, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. You will understand this very clearly. That's why a lot of people do meditation, vipassana. They say four foundations of mindfulness, but they don't understand this. The basic teaching is so simple. In the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. You're supposed to be silent to see this very clearly, that there is no one to see. And that is the beginning of the deconditioning of the sakkayadity. You understand? Deconditioning of this sakkayadity. If you don't see this and awaken to it, your sakkayadity, the egoic mind, will always be there. Very strong. You cannot root it out. You will associate with what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you tactilely feel and taste. Then the thought consciousness also very strong. Because you will always think there is a person inside there thinking, responsible for seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. And this is where the understanding is. You have to silence your mind. Initially, it's in the form of meditation. Then you will come to an understanding, a very clear understanding, what this consciousness is all about. Then you realize it's just conscious, nothing more. But what happened is the memory come in, the conditioning come in. Then I see, I hear, I smell, especially in the daily life. This is where self-delusion arises. And this one is the easiest. The first five sense door consciousness is the easiest to meditate on, to awaken to. The sixth consciousness is more difficult. When you see things as they are, means you don't go and perceive it, understand not? You remember Surangama Sutta? What does it say? Ah, very good, Engbi. Yes. Perception of form is consciousness. So this part you have to always remember. Perception of form is, I better put it in red, so that you can recall. It's consciousness. Whereas its non-perception is what? Ah, very good. Whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Now you will understand the sixth consciousness. With this, you will understand the sixth consciousness. So when you perceive in your daily life, you will see things as they are. No word, no concept, no memory, nothing. That reality. That's why it's always specific phenomenal awareness. It's just aware. It doesn't perceive. The moment you perceive, the mundane mind comes in already. It's no more the silent mind. But you cannot live life that way, understand? Unless you have that nature already stabilized. Then that one can move between the unconditioned and the conditioned. Then that one can live. So this stage, the sixth consciousness, will happen in the meditation as you cultivate. Then you realize your seeing all become different, your hearing all become different. This can only happen, like what I said, in your meditation, when your mind become very quiet, very still, when paucity arise and stabilize. Means your mind enters deep. It's only when your mind enters sati, the sixth consciousness will become clear to you. Then you will come to know, not only in the seeing consciousness, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. Even at the sixth consciousness, you don't perceive anything. Thing is just the way it is. No word, nothing, no description. And this comes from the understanding, perception of form. The moment you perceive form is, this one creation, understand? Perception come in already. That's why it's consciousness. This six consciousness is delusion, understand? Because you perceive the phenomenal world, you give meaning, and you will grasp and you will click, unless you have wisdom. You will give meaning. Your views and opinion all will come in. But if you can see things as they are, whereas it's non-perception, when you don't perceive anything, thing is just the way it is. No word, no duality, nothing. That's why all this is. Then you become at peace. Then there is no conflict. Because the mind that is in sati is silent, just aware. And through that silent and aware, you will awaken. You will insight into phenomena. The silent mind will understand, not through memory, That's the reason why the Buddha described the Dhamma is akaliko, sanditiko, can be realized by the wise in the here and the now. The akaliko means this one is timeless, without thought, without the psychological time. That's why it's beyond thought, beyond words. So this part, the non-perception, is the direct seeing. When the mind is in sati, every moment of hearing is in sati, every moment of seeing is in sati. That's a specific phenomenal awareness. It's just away. But if it wants to know, it can know. If it wants to manifest, it can manifest. But it will not get lost. It will not get entangled. It will not be drawn into it. You understand? Yeah. Then after that, the seven consciousness is the most difficult. Because this one, Sankara and Sanya, they move very fast. To see these seven consciousness clearly, you must have the ability to be silent completely. Silent means no Sankara, no Sanya. This one is just away, without perception. This one go beyond that, without views, opinion, conditioning, and the movement. You understand? This one is without perception only. This one, no chattering, no verbalization, no movement inside. And this is the most difficult state to realize. But it can be realized. When it arises, the form and mind that is in that state, you remember Hui Ning's teaching, Hui Ning's, the six patriarch Hui Ning's. Famous. Famous, how to spell, famous? Oh, yeah, O-U-S. Famous teaching. The three essence. First one is Wu Nian, no thought. Second one is what? Wu Xiang, no mark. Then the last one is no dwelling, Wu Zhu. It's only when you are without thought, you will hit the first two, the first five consciousness and the sixth consciousness. Because without thought, this will arise. Then through this, you can have the direct seeing. Then you can have the initial wisdom. You will awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. Then after that, you will approach the second stage of no mark. Then you will understand the form and mind is not real, not what you are. No mark of a self cultivating, existing. Then indirectly, you will also come to know no mark of living being to be saved. Then no mark of the phenomenal world is more difficult, more abstract. That one, you have to stabilize the sati, the mindfulness, the daily mindfulness, and awaken, then contemplate until very clear, until you understand deeply what the Buddha meant by mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Then all of Sankara is impermanent. All of Sankara is dukkha. Then all of Dhamma is anatta. Then the no-mark stage will be reached. And when you hit the no-mark stage, your seven consciousness will become different. You don't see things with mark. That's why you don't have all those Sankara, Sanya, stirring, reacting, and all those things. All this will cease. Then when you are in a state of no dwelling, this eight consciousness turn and become perfect mirror wisdom. This is for living. Understand? That's why all this consciousness, the only difference is whether you have wisdom connected to it or not. Without wisdom, you will see things in the mundane way with delusion. With wisdom, all this turn and become different. And life become wonderful, beautiful, meaningful. Can follow? Eh? Okay, then we go on. Eh? Next page. It's only through a few rounds of repetitive description that you all can slowly assimilate. Because I realized in the past, most of you are not ready. That's why I didn't go into all this, because no point. I just mentioned. But now it's different. People are ready, especially after our this recent trip, spiritual trip to Guangdong. And also Six Patriarchs Way Places. His teaching of no thought, no mind, and no dwelling is everywhere. You ask those who went with us. Then they had a lot of joy, and I explained it during the trip a few times. So slowly, the understanding is seeping in, settling in. That's why with this, the Bodhisattva way will be firmly established. Well, this is the Diamond Sutta teaching, Six Patriarch Platform Sutta teaching, that can allow you to perfect your perfection, your wisdom, and you can cultivate in a totally different way. It will speed up your cultivation. Otherwise, you can be wasting your time doing thought-based meditation, and even the initial sainthood way, you will spend a lot of time going through all those things, and yet your progress is like snail pace. Not even tortoise. You know what is a snail pace? Very slow, hardly move. You observe a snail, hardly move, I tell you. The tortoise at least slowly he move. But of course you can be like the rabbit, he run very fast. But the rabbit sometimes lazy. He thought he ahead already, complacent, he sleep. Then the tortoise catch up. So you cannot be complacent. You have to have the faith, the sadha leading to the spiritual faculty of virya. Then sati, maintain sati until very stable, until samadhi arise. When sati becomes samadhi, it means your paucity is very stable already, the enlightenment factor of paucity. Then later on, your samadhi, enlightenment factor, also very stable. Then you keep on arising wisdom. Then from the wisdom, you have the last factor of enlightenment, upekkha, equanimity. Then that time the mind does not move, does not stir. When there is upekkha, sankhara sannyasis. Understand? You are in a state of equanimity. You are not affected by the duality. You have gone beyond the marks. So all this, by now, you should have a better understanding. That as you cultivate, as you progress, you will realize all this on your own. Then there is a lot of joy. After that, I tell you, you will have a lot of faith in the Buddha and the great beings that has helped you. Then you will have a lot of gratitude and respect towards them. Then your tears will flow. Then your heart will open up. Then you will do this work. Just like how you benefited from them, then you will put in your own understanding, your own vow, your own aspiration, your own way of cultivation. It's not until you have this condition to go this way, your cultivation cannot progress. The real progress comes from that understanding, the faith, then the determination. And the best window is the sasana, when the sasana is around. If you don't develop it, stabilize it, and get everything sorted out during the sasana, you don't stand a chance when the sasana is no more. That's the reason why my nature always emphasize this window, don't miss it. Diligently work towards that understanding and stabilize that vow, that understanding, so that life after life you come, you have that understanding. And this is the one that will take you along in your cultivation. It will unfold by itself. Technically, you don't have to do anything. It's just the understanding that evolves, the aspiration, the vow, that will take you. Then you make affinity with all the great beings. Then their vows and all those things, they will also help your nature to move. And technically, you don't have to do anything, because it is through your understanding that all these causes and conditions are planted. The most important one is the first seed of Bodhi, Bodhi Singh. Plant that seed with faith, with understanding, firmly. Then this will really, really take off. And this will create the causes and conditions for your forming mind to move. Your nature will become more and more beautiful, more and more beautiful. Then even without sasana, you don't worry. This is the one that will protect you, take you along. Because that Bodhi mind that is firmly planted with the faith, with the understanding, with the vow, with the whatever condition, will transform that cultivator. Then somehow or other, every life you come, the form and mind will have the understanding. Because this Bodhi mind that is planted, they will arise the causes and conditions for your form and mind to move. Even without sasana, you will have this understanding. Like Huineng, he come, illiterate. The moment he hear truth, he understand, he awaken. Then the moment this one connect back to the silent mind, then he will inherit. Like this nature of mind, nobody actually taught me. I may have teacher and guide later on, but they don't really teach me. They just share with me their understanding, that's it. And everyone is different. Each share different part. Then later on, when this nature has the condition, it just move. Then it just know what to do. It will know how to filter, and it will know how to develop the meditation accordingly. Technically, this nature's meditation, nobody taught me. All those guide and teacher only share with me certain aspect of what they have developed and understood. But the full picture, the full understanding is not there. So on this, your nature has to evolve it and develop the understanding. Then when this nature has this understanding, it is very different, very beautiful. Every life it comes, the form and mind is very different. It will know when to move and how to move. And all these great beings that you have developed affinity with, they will come. At the right time, with the right appropriate condition and understanding to allow you to move and develop all this cultivation accordingly. Okay, now we continue. Yes.
The last line, Badiu, it said the eighth consciousness turns. Becomes the wisdom of the great perfect mirror.
Perfect mirror.
Perfect mirror means mirror. Perfect wisdom.
You see, like I explained just now, this eight consciousness when it turns is with the complete wisdom, understand now? It reflects everything about life. That is for living, you remember I told you? For living. So when the wisdom has perfected itself, then this eight consciousness turns. The alaya consciousness and store consciousness is no more. It's from the nature. That nature shine forth. Then this one become pure consciousness. This one is no more alaya consciousness. Where there is no more delusion, there is no more ignorance. There is no more what they call ignorance and all those things. So this one is no more alaya. Alaya means store consciousness. Everything, good and bad, with all the duality, whether wholesome or unwholesome or neutral, they are all karmic related. But when you turn, means through the wisdom, all these become pure consciousness, pure awareness. Then this one is for living. Then this one is, like I said, you can only hit this stage if you are one of the great beings or the Buddha, Sammasambuddha, the Dhammakaya stage. Understand? The Dhamma body. You have to inherit the spiritual body, Sammugayakaya. Then it transforms into Dhammakaya. So this part, the great perfect mirror, is the ultimate consummation of cultivation. So this one, it will make you perfect human being, perfect living being. All this, when you develop the cultivation, stage by stage, you will go through. But most people only at this first two. To reach the seven consciousness with the understanding is very difficult. Normal people cannot do. If you go and read that book, you remember? The Method of No Method by the late Se Yen Fasu. You can read the book again. He keep on explaining this silent illumination. Silent without illumination or awareness is samatha. It's not vipassana. It's not the real meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then he got described the various stages of silence and illumination. So those who know the teaching, they will teach differently. They will describe it differently. Then you know these people understand. Okay? Yeah? Clear, huh? Good. The next page, huh? Although the 6 and 7 are turned in the cause, and the 1st, 5, and 8 in the effect, it is merely the names which turn. Their substance does not turn. You understand this, huh? The substance does not turn means that consciousness that they see is no different from yours. Understand or not? The only difference is what? They have this one connected. Understand or not? What you experience, their form and mind also experience. But they have this wisdom. That's why they can see things as they are. That's why they can understand why the Buddha say, the essential Dhamma say, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. But without this wisdom, all this cannot turn. All these are mundane consciousness. That's why its substance never change. Now you understand, huh? So this part is good. Their substance does not turn. Means they experience the same consciousness as you. The only difference is they have the wisdom connected to the form and mind. That's why you can say that form and mind is enlightened, but they are not deluded by it. Because that form and mind is dependent, originating, condition arising, karmically conditioned out, not them. They know, but they know this is the vehicle and the tool that can allow them to develop the direct seeing, the awakening and the understanding. Then the moment it arises, this wisdom is uniquely connected to only this form and mind. When this form of my parinibbana, this wisdom goes with. Understand? That's why even, let's say, the Buddha, he may have the perfection already in the spiritual nature, but not until underneath the Bodhi tree when he connects, that wisdom part cannot come back. You understand? It's only when that moment, then he inherit everything, the Sambhogaya Kaya, which is the spiritual perfection, come back, Then this form and mind combined with this speaks the Dhamma. That's why it becomes Dhammakaya. Okay? But this spiritual nature, which is the perfection of wisdom that he inherited, is very unique to that form and mind of Sakyamuni Buddha at that life. Understand? So when the form and mind parinibbana, this one also gone. It doesn't mean you are a great being cultivated. The moment you are born, you have the wisdom. No. You understand? Not until you connect, you cannot inherit. I already told you, spiritual nature, you must connect. Then you inherit. Then this form of mind, like the Buddha, at the age of 29, he's still not enlightened. Even until 35, before the Bodhi tree that night, he is still an ordinary Puttijana. But the moment he connect with the wisdom, he become, when I say he is the form of mind, that one become the Buddha. But that one is not him. That's why the Tathagata is the embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue. This part, not the form of mind. That's why he told the disciple, he who sees my Dhamma sees me. What is his Dhamma? The embodiment of love, compassion and wisdom. That is what his Dhamma is. Means perfection of wisdom and virtue. That is what the Buddha is, the nature. But the form, the physical form and mind, that so-called Buddha, is not him. That's why you will never see the Buddha when you look at the form. That's why the Rupa allow you to recall to mind his nine great virtues. That one is not him. So do not be deluded by it. But that one is an object of veneration, the four objects of veneration. You have to venerate because you can recall to mind and develop a lot of wholesomeness. So this wisdom, always remember, is not born with you. That's why a lot of people say, oh, the pure nature is inherently perfect and all those things. Yeah, when you understand in the true sense, it is already perfect. That's why Hui Ning say, how amazing that true nature is undefiled. It's already perfect in everything. Which is true, because that is the nature. And that nature cannot come out. Yeah. But that wisdom part is not there. Understand now? That nature can, through the cultivation, using this form of mind, connect with the silent mind to that nature, then this nature will have to awaken. Understand? Through the direct seeing, through the cultivation. Then only this wisdom starts to come back. You start to inherit. Then this wisdom is unique and peculiar to this form and mind at that time. Because, like I used to say, that true mind, that true nature, is not something that you can use to live life. You cannot come out, understand or not? But this nature cannot come out, understand? But it's not a being. It got nothing. So you have to use it. Develop the direct seeing, the meditation. You remember the triangle? The triangle? This one is where living being is trapped, the senses. Then this one is the pure awareness, the consciousness or the source and all those things. Then this one is understanding or wisdom. That's the reason why you have to use the direct seeing to awaken and develop the wisdom. So this wisdom or understanding must arise first. Then use this connected to the form and mind. This one is the five aggregate of form and mind. Use this wisdom or understanding connected to the form and mind to live life. This is living life. Then this one is delusion. Existing through life. Because this one, you live with delusion. There is no wisdom. This one, the consciousness trigger of mundane consciousness. So at this level, this senses as the five aggregate of form and mind. This one trigger of mundane consciousness. So mundane consciousness will arise when there is no wisdom connected. But when there is wisdom connected, this is true living. So true living. And this one is mundane living. Can recall? Yeah? Yeah. This one is in your what they call Heart Sutta book. So our true mind, our nature is up here. And this one cannot come out. You can only come to this world with a form and mind. Remember? Karmically conditional. All being has to come with a form and mind. This is where the existential world is, the phenomenal world is. This is the unconditioned. That's why this one cannot come out. But this one can develop the direct seeing to meditate. Because this is a silent mind. You understand? This is the one that can awaken and develop the wisdom. This one. Can follow? Yeah. If you don't have the silent mind to develop this direct seeing and arise the wisdom, you will be doing this a lot. Mundane living. That's why this one, emotion, everything is there. Wrong view, conditioning. Your views, your opinion, your condition, your fear, your phobia, your accumulated memory. This one is acting according to memory. This one is acting according to understanding and wisdom. That's why without this connected, this form and mind is deluded. Without wisdom, there is no yoniso manasikara. That's why you cannot learn how to let go. You cannot cut a feeling. No meaning. Because without wisdom, this form and mind is 100% deluded. Avijja. So you need to develop wisdom through meditation. And meditation is not easy to understand. To go into the real meditation, the true meditation, even no thought is so difficult to achieve. And a lot of cultivators use concentration to go in to achieve no thought. Do you realize that? Absorption. One-pointedness. Because they cannot stop their thought. So the only way to stop their thought is to focus and to concentrate so that there is no thinking. Kill all the thought at one point. That's where all the thought-based meditation go wrong. And this no thought is supposed to be a free mind. Even Sun Yan Fa Si explained very clearly inside there. It is a free mind. It's not a conditioned state. Naturally, just aware, silent, without thought. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this is the real understanding, and you can break through and progress very fast when you understand it. That's why you may recall now, whenever you meditate, what did I tell you? Just relax, silent, and aware. Don't do anything. Don't try to know. Because that is the silent mind. And it's only through that silent mind you can perceive your consciousness. Then when you are stable already, the formal meditation has developed the stability, then you bring that state into the daily life. Then in the midst of your daily life, you can have the views and opinions straightened to develop the wisdom. Then all this consciousness will transform. They will turn. And you will become different. That's why after that, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, you become different. Because you got no more wrong view, no more delusion. No more wrong view, no more delusion, no more conditioning, what happened? You don't think anymore. Understand? But there's no need for thinking. Think is just the way it is. Think also like that, don't think also like that. then the moment you are silent, you truly understand and aware. And you cannot be drawn into situation anymore. Well, you know this is not real. If you are not real, how can there be a mark of your loved one? That's why all this attachment, clinging, grasping, gone. You understand? And this is how the understanding free you. Without understanding, you cannot free. You only use knowledge to justify. Let go la, not really what you think la, not your children la, not your husband la. That one is all words. But when it really hit you without the real understanding, you will grasp, you will cling. But to you, your form and mind is so real. All of external form is so real. Even when I tell you now they are all not real, you can never, never accept. Like that day, Mindy was asking the question, form is emptiness, emptiness. Because to her, it's very difficult to understand, to penetrate. Okay? So we should thank Ingbi, a very good question. So this part, I want to spend more time so that you all can develop the clear understanding deeply. Okay, then we go on to the commentary. We see what Shen Hua has to say. The above passage was not part of the original text, but was added later. Oh, see? They know they have missed out something. That's why later on, I think the Zen Master and all those awakened beings, special beings, they added it. Then we go on to the next part of the sutta. Instantly enlightened to the nature of wisdom. Zitong, is it Zitong? Zitong. Zitong. Oh, okay. Zitong. After he instantly became enlightened to the nature of wisdom, he spoke these words, these verses. Three bodies are my basic substance. See, now he understands. What are the three bodies? Nimana kaya, sambhogaya kaya, and dhamma kaya. Dhamma body. So he said, the three bodies are my basic substance. Do you understand what he means? The first one is the functional body, nimana kaya. Understand? That performs the function of his segmented life, every life he comes. So he understands that one is condition arising, not real. Then when he developed the cultivation, every of this life, the cultivation and the perfection will accumulate into his spiritual body. Then when this spiritual body gets connected and he inherits, then he understands the Dhamma, the wisdom come about. That's how the Dhamma body come about. So he straight away after enlightened, he knew. That's why he spoke this verse. Three bodies are my substance, basic substance. These are the vehicle you use to develop the cultivation and the perfection. Then four wisdom, my original bright mind, understand? If he can understand the four wisdom, he already had the wisdom, understand? That's why he said that one is his true mind, his bright mind. Body and wisdom is unobstructed, means they become one, fusion. In response to beings, I accordingly take form. See? He understands now. In accordance with beings, you have to come to this existential mode. You have to take a form. Understand? This is what the karmically conditioned for my mind is all about. You have to come this way. That's why the moment you awaken, you will understand all this. Arising to cultivate them is false movement. Now you understand. Holding to or pondering over them is a waste of effort. Then the next one is, through the master I know the wonderful principle, and in the end I lost the stain of name, means no more perception. Because he already know perception of form is consciousness, not a reality. That's why in the end, I lose the strain of names. All this name gone, labeling, division. So this form and mind that he come, he use it to cultivate. Then he also know arising to cultivate them is false movement. That's why all this activity of mind, the consciousness, the condition world, they are all empty. No reality. That's the reason why the sutta used the word false movement. Means not real. Not real means what? They are dependent originating, condition arising. That's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not what you think, empty. Then holding to or pondering over them is a waste of effort. Means if the phenomenal world can still draw you, means you can still be gullible, then you are in delusion. That's why when the form and mind has the wisdom connected, this one become enlightened. Once it become enlightened, what happened? It's no longer deluded. No longer deluded means the phenomenal world has got no power over him. You understand? That's why exactly like the sutta, it states here, holding to and pondering over the phenomenal world means you give meaning to them. It's a waste of effort because they are not real. This is the phenomenal condition arising world. So when the form and mind is no longer deluded, this phenomenal world of consciousness has got no more power over him. He will not be deluded, deceived. It will not get itself entangled anymore. It will not hold, it will not grow. But it will use it with understanding and live, like Hui Ning. When he heard the fifth patriarch told him, you have to use this mind and yet not to be deceived by it or deluded by it. That is true understanding, true living. That's why Hui Ning came to great awakening after that. Just from that Diamond Sutta sentence or stanza. And he said, through the master, I know the wonderful principle, means six patriarch. And in the end, I lose the strain of names. So now, when you have the understanding, this poem becomes so beautiful. But when you don't understand, I tell you, you can go and read the English meaning. I tell you, you will be at a loss. What nonsense is it? Three body are my basic substance. I only got one body. Well, how can I have three bodies? See? Knowledge. Mundane. Thinking. Then four wisdom. Wisdom lah. Where got four wisdom? Well, they cannot understand. Then body and wisdom in unobstructed fusion. Means the understanding, wisdom is connected to the form and mind. Understand or not? That's why this is unobstructed fusion. It become one, not separate. Okay, we see what Xuanhua have to say in the commentary. Okay. I every time forgot the pronunciation. What is 智通? 智通. Oh, 智慧的智, okay, 智通, okay. 智通, understood the function of the three bodies and the four wisdom. The three bodies are not to be found outside of your own body, he said. And the four wisdom do are produced from our own bright understanding mind, means the wisdom part. When the bodies and wisdom interpenetrate, means infusion, then I may dispense the Dhamma in accordance with the needs of living being, in accordance with external condition, and yet not changing, unchanging, and yet in accordance with condition. So this part, Xuanhua's explanation, debate. He said he teach with the thing, the condition, external, all those things, unchanging. The actual thing is, his consciousness is not turned. The only difference is the wisdom is there. That's why they say this consciousness turned because of the wisdom. But in actual state, you say, their substance does not turn. Means basically the consciousness that seeing and the hearing is exactly the same as you, except they have the wisdom connected and they are not deceived and deluded. Then they see things as they are. That's why in the seeing, there's only seeing consciousness. To them, it's very clear. They are no longer in delusion. If you wonder how can I cultivate the three bodies and four wisdom, that is nothing but false thinking, false movement. The same is true of holding to them and being attached. The explanation is different. He thinks it's holding to the four wisdom and the three body. No. It's the phenomenal world, understand? The whole of the phenomenal world. Then from beginning to end, there is no stain of name, perception or form. There is consciousness. What is unstained by name is the original self nature, the unconditioned, which is untouched by worldly emotion. Unless you have no defilement, you cannot return to the root and go back to the source, which is undefiled. So this is Xuanhua's part of the commentary. So he has his understanding up to the level he understands. That's why he will explain it this way. Okay, we finish that chapter, which is quite good. So we stop here. So next page is 292. Okay, do you have any question? He still got 10 minutes to go, I think. Yeah, about 10 minutes before the meditation. Do you have any question or anything you want to clarify? Ah, yeah, in business.
Thanks. Yesterday I was having a haircut. So from the my labs, I just pick up my hair, see, and then I just see, and then I just full stop there.
I know.
Sadhu. I just full stop there. At night, I was listening to your last Sunday
talk on this.
This morning, after came back from SJVA Katina, I listened again. And then from there, I think the contemplation started, and then said, like what brother explained, the sixth consciousness, direct seeing.
Yeah, direct seeing. Without the word yet.
No word and not
disturbed. You will know how that word come in on. Pop at that moment, then the concept, the words, the naming, the labeling coming. It's after that.
And
you can see, if you can see that, then very good. But that is the real meditation. And I ask you a very simple question. Before you come to my class, all of the so-called vipassana, they teach you how to develop mindfulness this way. They never, understand? Everything they taught to you is theory, knowledge, and not actually what is happening during the daily life. The real movement inside, they cannot see. Where they themselves don't have that stability of mindfulness and wisdom to see all this. That's why they cannot be in the moment of awareness, silent, without thought. And when you don't have that type of experience and understanding, how can you teach? You teach based on what? Knowledge, understand now? Based on what you have been taught, the so-called vipassana, or so-called meditation. That's why the emphasis is always on matter, technique, teacher. And all the words, jhana, jnana, and all those things. Then sometimes they go for nimitta, and all those things. So, what the Buddhist community is going through, the cultivator is going through, is completely different from what the Buddha taught. What the Buddha taught is very simple and very direct. But people has already failed to develop the understanding is because this teaching, as it flowed down over the years, has become contaminated with a lot of commentaries that come from scholar. You understand? Scholarly monks, mainly scholarly monks. And very few of these scholarly monks, I don't deny there are some, but very few, they have their own understanding. That's why they can't present something that they cannot understand themselves. They only have the ability to make a good guess of what this thing is. So that's why they repeat what they have read before, or heard before, or what their mind, through their own so-called thinking, they thought that is contemplation, develops. That's how all the teaching come about. Then as I went through the cultivation during the early days, because of this nature's path, that's why when it came to develop the understanding, then I look back, I got a shock of my life. That's why I didn't do anything from 1989 until 2004, for 15 years. Because what this nature understood and realized is completely different from what the community is doing, completely different. Okay, so what Agby went through is very good. There's a haircut. No wonder just now I came in, I saw her hair shorter, like my wife. She also have a haircut, I also have my haircut. Then in the year 1989, after what happened, after my haircut, I kept all my hair. I want to see what happened later on. The hair is still somewhere, I don't know where I put it. Since that time, 1989, I put in a plastic bag. My wife also don't know. I don't know what happened to the hair also. I cannot tell you. But it will have its, what they call, vibration and all those things inside there. You want to ask something? Continue.
So when radio or through listening to your talk last Sunday, this contemplative understanding came out like, that is direct seeing. I don't stir by anything
Of
the hair while seeing it.
You have the ability, because your mind can be silent. That's why you can have the ability. I can tell you, normal people cannot. You go and ask those people, the so-called Buddhists, can be meditating in the retreat, 10 years. You ask them to see something without movement of thought. They cannot do. I tell you, they cannot do. Very good.
When just now, Radio explained seven consciousness, now I understand that my mind started stirred when I have this thought of urgency. You're no more young. Urgency to cultivate.
I should have
what I wanted to do after my retirement.
Because when you start to see all this, that is the beginning of the real cultivation. It's only when you are aware of this movement, then you know what the Buddha meant by Sankara. Then the next level is what? Sabbe Sankara Anicchang. Understand? Then like this, what? Zitong on. Hui, Zihui, the Zihui, Zi, is it? Zitong. He know. No point on. Understand? Think also like that, don't think also like that. That's why he will not grouse, he will not cling. And it's no meaning. And he will know. That's why you're wasting your effort if you are doing that. But no amount of all this thinking will help you. But initially, you need the mundane mind to develop the faith, understand not? Like the urgency, because you recall my advice, the meaning. Then you make that determination to move, to become serious. And that is very good. But that is what the Buddha called it, the virya, understand, the spiritual zeal to move. But you see the importance of this, the urgency of this. And this is the contemplative one. But the heedless thinking one is different. The heedless thinking one has nothing to do with Dhamma one. Ayo, my hair white already. I'm getting old already. Ayo, I must go and buy a good dye. Dye it black again. I don't want to look so old. And this is mundane. Understand? But when you reflect on Dhamma, the urgency and all those things, that is still the second turning, contemplation. But when you develop the direct seeing, it's in the midst of life, your daily mindfulness. That's why I say you just develop the stability of mindfulness. And just do, don't try to know. Then when your mindfulness becomes very stable, I keep on reminding you all, the form and mind will know one. When you are in sati, really in sati, when you bow until you are in sati, there is no good one. The body and mind move as one. Then you realize throughout the day, you are like that. Then you realize all of perception, just aware. The specific phenomenal awareness, it will come. Then you realize you hardly think anymore. Because when you are aware, you cannot think. Understand? And most of the time, you are just aware. That's why initially it's just aware. And when you sleep also same. The heartbeat here, initially, pupa. Then slow down. Then until hardly any movement. Until completely no more movement. That is the silent mind. That is your true mind. You have to relax, maintain the awareness until no more movement. It will come. Then when there is completely no more movement, you will come to be aware of a great stillness and silence within the nature. Everything like cease. Suddenly, like in the middle of the night, all the traffic sound all no more. The vibration within nature, the insect sound all no more. Complete stillness and silence, just aware. And that nature, when you are in that state, is the best. You will come to understand what that nature is, that true mind. No word, nothing one. That one is not a being. That one got no thought, nothing. That one can understand things. Its ability is just aware. That's it, finish. But it is the very powerful awareness. That is the real sati. That is your true mind. That is the one that can awaken and develop the understanding. Yeah. Okay? So, the actual cultivation is develop the stability of mindfulness. Just continue to develop this daily mindfulness. Whether you need to bow, you need to walk, you need to do whatever cultivations, whether it's formal or whatever. You just stabilize that. Means in the midst of life, determined to be aware, that's it. Aware from inside. Keep on aware. Even that Sun Yan Fa's book also same. He speak about the same thing. Yeah. Later on, I will try to mark it out. Because I remember during the early days, I think Yun Chan brought the book back. I read through. That's why I was full of joy. I said, at least somebody also understand all this. I will try to go back and locate that book and mark it out. Then I read to you. Then you understand what he means. He also teach somewhere along that line. Except he used slightly different words. But the meaning is exactly the same. That's why all those who understand, they teach the same. And his meditation is nothing to do with method and technique. That's why he said there is a method or no method. He said just to be aware of your own form and mind, stabilize it, then of the environment, then of the oneness nature. Do you need any method or technique? He said, you don't need, understand? And like I explained, which he never make it so clear, the moment you are without thought, you already aware. Don't try to be aware. Don't learn to be aware. That one is the thought trying to learn. The thought trying to be aware. Thought is active. How can you be aware? This one he never described. Yeah. But he just said the silent illumination is very simple meditation. Just silence your mind, he said. And he always talk about body and mind as one. You can start Anapanasati or whatever. Yeah. But finally, there is no method, is it? It's just aware. Then illumination is awareness inside there. Silence without illumination is samatha. Understand now? One-pointedness. No thought, but full of energy. Very calm, very still. Without illumination. You are not aware. The silent illumination is the mind is without thought, fully aware. That is the meditative mind. Very good. Sadhu, very good. I rejoice that. So now your cultivation will become different. That's why when you lie down or when you sit and meditate, you know what you are doing. You're just silent. That's why the fourth support is relax, aware. Then don't do anything. Then stabilize the awareness. Then finally, the last cultivation is when you reach your gateway, that time you don't do anything, no thought, nothing, you just relax, silent and aware, it will detect the gateway by itself. Then that nature do means no more interference from the thought. We call that trust. You trust the nature to do. And that nature just do. Means all your yin and yang energy will melt into the gateway. And that pure energy will do whatever that it need to do. Which part it need to clear, which part it need to open up, it will do by itself. There is no thought interfering, no resistance. You are completely relaxed and just aware and let the nature do. Because that nature, which has the, what they call understanding from the past cultivation, will know what to do. But the moment thought interfere, it resists that nature. And that's the reason why the Western medical science, they also know. When they want you to recover, you know what they give you or not? Antibiotic, understand? Knock you off. Knock you off means so that you don't think. When you don't think, when you are in deep sleep, when you are groggy, consciousness, although it still arise, but you are not conscious, then your nature will take over and heal you. That's why they know, put you on antibiotic is the best medicine to heal you. Yeah. But if you are a meditator, you don't need to take antibiotic, understand? Like when I go through whatever, sometimes you can see me, I can have the sneezing and sinus, or even on spiritual tree you will see. But the next morning when I wake up, I am fully recovered already. Why? Because I just silent, relax, and aware, and let it go in. Last time, 10 minutes I recover in the early days, 1989. But this body is just a body. It's just like whatever. You have gone through the early years where you have little nourishment. The food intake you take. Our family very big, and we don't have good nourishment. We are all undernourished actually. So when I was going through school, even until form 6, I was very skinny. I only 90 pounds when I went into MU. 90 pounds. But the moment I entered MU, the food was so good. No? The nutrition was so good. Early morning breakfast, he give us 2 eggnog with unlimited bread, butter, kaya, and everything. So after I took that one, I put on about 18 pounds. From 90, I went up to 108, and it stayed there until final year. And that time I was so healthy, because my body got enough nutrition. So it's just like when you are very weak because of lack of proper food and all those things. Then later on, when you take something to nourish yourself, they call bo yong. You understand? Bo yong. Initially, very effective when you realize not. Because you never take before. You take a very effective one. But after you take a few times already, you take some more, the effect is no more like last time. First time, very effective. So this body is the same. after I use that pure energy to heal and to do all those things, after a few years, the effect is no longer as it is. So from 10 minutes, it extends to half an hour. Then later on, I need 2 hours. Then 6 hours. Then 8 hours. Now I need 8 hours. I have to sleep through the night. Then this physical body will heal. So this is part and parcel of nature's condition. The body goes the way of nature. If you are accustomed to the pure energy, if this pure energy has kept you healthy or much healthier, the moment it fails to maintain your health, means that pure energy also has succumbed to all this. Means you are used to it already. So what happens is you need more time to recover. Even fatigue is the same. Last time when we young, you remember, we play game. Then after that we stop. Exam time, stop for a month or what. Then go back and play like badminton or what. Wow, first day, after that, a lot of ache. Understand? A long time didn't play. Then we recover very fast. The next day we continue, less pain. Then after that we recover. Do you know when I was 30-something, after I graduated about 10 years, I realized my recovery slowed down a lot. After the ache come, 3-4 days only, after I played the game, I didn't know the fatigue is there until 3-4 days later. 3-4 days only, feel the ache coming. Then the recovery take a long time, because the body is no longer like before. So all this, you will go through, you will understand. But you will know body is just a body. That's why the Buddha asks us to reflect. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. These are only elements. Go the way of nature, not you. So do not be deluded by it. Do not be deceived by it. So all this understanding, you will come to understand as you cultivate. Okay, what's the time now? You all can meditate. 4:36. You can meditate about 25 minutes. Then I will ring the bell. Be off the light so that you can have your silent meditation. Always remember the four sapana. Relax into every aspect, body and mind. Just completely relax, silent. Don't try to do anything, relax. Then silence your mind. The moment you are without thought, you already aware. So let the awareness stabilize. Initially, if there is a lot of thinking, sankhara or whatever, let it be. If you do not stir your mind, react to it, and create the mental hindrance, sati will take over. And your mind will become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful. That's what meditation is all about. Just relax into it and silent. Then let things be. So relax, aware. Then maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Silent everything. Don't try to know. Just stabilize that silent mind. Then if you've got any method or technique to help you stabilize, you use it. If you need the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, if your spiritual faculty are still not stable, then do it. By now, most of you should have the ability to be quiet, to be silent, to be still. So you just relax and allow things to be, then that silence will fall into place. And that is what meditation is all about. Just relax and aware, silent. Then the awareness, which is the silent mind, will be aware of the whatever consciousness that arises. Then how you stir, how you move, you can see them all. But you need to be completely silent to understand all this. Okay? You can go ahead with your meditation. Okay. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. For those who want to continue with the meditation, you can go on. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. That is the meditative mind that you need to develop the daily mindfulness. Okay, now we will continue with the meditation or reporting. You can just raise your hand if you want to report your meditation, then follow by whatever question you have. You can ask question regarding meditation or the teaching or whatever related to the teaching. How to apply what you have learned to help you develop the meditation or the understanding of life. Okay. Anybody? You just raise your hand, then we can pass you the mic. Where's the mic? Oh, okay. Anybody want to report meditation? Yeah. Don't have. Then what do you want to understand? Any particular topic? You should make full use of the time and the condition. Whatever that you want to make clear, not sure, you just report them. Anybody? What we have gone through, anybody got any part which are not clear, you can also ask. Pass the mic to Ingby.
Maybe Brother Teo can please explain again why in the previous paragraph, the fifth and the eighth consciousness is the reaping or results. And the sixth and seventh is the causes of it. Thanks.
Okay. We turn to that page. Page 290. Although the sixth and seventh, are turned in the cause, and the first five and the eight in the effect. It is merely names which turn. You see, if you look at the six and seven, they are turned in the cause, means related to the cause, and the first and the eight is the effect. By now, I think it's clear. You see, we have this, what they call cause and effect. This one is the cause. And this one is also the organ, is also the cause. Then the resultant is the effect. Resultant is the effect. That's why it's cause and effect. It's just like the physics experiment. You need the sense data. Okay? So these are the condition for its arising. Then you need an organ. Then you need a mind that make contact. Okay? Mind make contact. So what happens when sense data, organ, and mind make contact? the resultant is the sense door consciousness. Understand? That's why this number 8 is the effect. Oh, sorry. Become effort. Cause and effect. So this is the effect. The first 5 consciousness is the same. You understand? Because this one is the resultant consciousness. Seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile. These are the resulting consciousness. So this first 5 is also the effect. So the causes are always the sense data and the organ. When you perceive something, you bring the sense data, these are the cause of its arising. So the 6 and 7 is the cause. Then upon contact of mind, the resultant is this. And this one is when all the content of consciousness went in. So without wisdom, your content of consciousness that go in, which is sankhara basically, sankhara sanya, because sankhara sanya is part of the content of consciousness, this one will have delusion. But when there is wisdom, this one become pure aggregate. You understand not? You know what is pure aggregate? Non-grasping. Means there is no ignorance, there is no delusion. That's why the enlightened being, their consciousness, there is still sankhara sanya going on. They know how to use this. But these are pure, non-grasping aggregate. That's why putujana, normal human being, are grasping aggregate, upadana khandas. Whereas the enlightened being is pure khandas, non-grasping. Okay? So this one is quite straightforward. That's why if you don't ask, you cannot understand. And this teaching is not easy for people to understand. Because these are teaching of enlightened beings. So you have to develop the cultivation in order to understand. But initially it's the understanding of it, pariyati. Pariyati means the first stage of Dhamma. Means you cultivate the understanding. The first part is they call it pariyati, the learning of the teaching. So whatever you're not sure, you learn. Means you develop the understanding through reading, through hearing. Then later on, you move on to the practice. Stage 2 is patipatti. You put it into practice after you have understood. But the cause and effect initially is knowledge. That's why I had to explain to you, then you understand. Knowledge-wise, you understand. Then when you put it into practice, what happens is you experience them in the meditation. Then you awaken. You can follow. First is knowledge, means learning. The essential Dhamma, you have to understand them. Otherwise, you cannot cultivate. You cannot cultivate something that you don't understand. True or not? True or not? Can you get this point? You cannot do meditation without understanding what is meditation. You cannot be mindful of the 3 evil roots without knowing what constitute the evil roots. You understand? That's why you have must develop the initial understanding, the essential Dhamma. So pariyati is to develop the initial understanding. You can call it knowledge or whatever. But it's Dhamma knowledge. Means you still don't know how it functions, how it works. You only know that this is what the Buddha said. Proclamation. So you have cultivated before in the past, the first turning wisdom, even at level 1, pariyati, you can awaken. You can understand. Like Hui Ning. Wherever there is truth, he understands, he awakens. But for most people, no. you have to move on to stage two. You have to put the teaching to practice. Then you reflect and contemplate. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? Then as you reflect and contemplate, you cultivate. First turning, second turning, then third turning. Whether direct seeing or... Then during the cultivation, you experience the Dhamma. That is the actual understanding. Then the friction of it is the third stage of Dhamma. Third stage of Dhamma is Pativeda. You get to reap the result or the fruit of your hard work. Means after you have put it into cultivation, you develop the understanding, then this understanding stabilized, then you can live it. You understand? You can apply that teaching. Then you can be in that state of understanding. That's why your consciousness become different. You see things differently. You experience things differently. Then you change. You transform. Character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, you become different. And that is the real progress. Then avijja paccaya sankhara, less and less. Because when you have straighten your view, develop more understanding, right view, you have less ignorance. When you have less ignorance, you have less sankhara, where that weak link is weakened. That's the reason why when you cultivate correctly, you will be more and more mindful, more and more heedful, less and less heedless, means less thinking. Most of the time, you are just aware and silent. And that is real progress. It's through the silence and the awareness that you understand. Then you continuously straighten your view. Okay? So these are the important Dhamma. When you understand, you can put it into practice. You know what this thing is. Then you can find out in the meditation yourself whether what the Buddha taught is the truth or not. It will stand up to investigation. That's why it's ehi. Patsiko, he can invite you to come and investigate. But these are the truth. Truth will stand up to investigation. So all this you will understand. Then you will see clearly, oh, no wonder the sutta says these are the cause. Then the resultant is the other fifth and eighth consciousness. Where they are the resultant. So the cause is when you perceive through the external phenomenal world. That brings the sense data into your mind. That's how the five aggregate of form and mind at the mind level arise, the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Then you realize the teaching now becomes different. It makes sense. Then I understand what the Buddha meant by the five aggregate. First aspect as a human being, I have a physical body, I have a consciousness trapped inside. Then within the consciousness, or mind, there are four aggregates which the Buddha has subdivided. Then I check, yeah, my mind can feel, can perceive, can arise sankhara, mental state, mental intention, content of function. Then it can become conscious of things. And this is such a beautiful teaching. I understand who am I, what am I. Then if you want to cultivate his teaching on Paticchasamuppada, his core teaching, which is dependent origination, condition arising, that's why he called it Paticchasamuppada, dependent origination. So the whole of the phenomenal world, the Buddha said, is condition arising, causal phenomenal, not real. Without condition, nothing arises. That's why everything is dependent arising, dependent originating. Nothing arises without causes and conditions. Unless it's the unconditioned. The unconditioned, there is no cause, there is no effect. It is just the unconditioned. Whereas the conditioned world has to have condition behind for their arising. And this condition, when they arise, it will trigger a phenomenon. Because the resultant of those conditions will be the effect. And this effect will create new condition for another effect. That's why cause and effect. cause and effect. And you will start to see that the whole phenomenal world is nothing else except the phenomenal world keep on arising and passing away. Because when you are mindful of the moment, you will see how fleeting is the present moment, not what you think. The moment you are aware, split second is gone. Then how real can life be? Well, that is the only reality in life. So all this you will see, you will understand, you will awaken. Then you look back, all the other words become meaningful. Like what the Buddha says, sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, then sabbe dhamma anatta, empty, non-self, not what you think. All this starts to have meaning. Yeah. Then like the Mahayana put it in a very nice way, guo qi xing bu ke de, wei lai xing bu ke de, then xian zai xing ye bu ke de. Yeah, these three minds are within the field of time. The mind of the past is already gone, it's not a reality. The mind of the future has yet to come, it's also not a reality. Then the present moment mind is also fleeting, not a reality. It's the highest in life. That's why they talk about mindfulness, awareness, present moment awareness, power of now. It's the highest in life. But this is the only reality in existence, in life, the moment. But the moment is just so unstable. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. So how real can life be? When the present moment, which is the only reality in life, is also so fleeting. That's why the Mahayana understand. 现在心也不可得, because this is so unstable. You cannot hold it, catch it. You cannot. You can only be aware of the moment. Split second is gone. So in order to transcend life, you have to transcend the past, present, and the future. Means you have to transcend thought, even the present moment. You have to go beyond thought, which is beyond the present moment. That's why you have to realize the unconditioned. Then later on, when you are very near the enlightenment of the Arahant stage, where you will realize the stability of cessation, Nibbana, you will see very clearly your awareness. How from there the creation start? How the cessation of the form and mind happen? How the brain completely come to a standstill and you are not dead? The brain completely come to a standstill. No movement, no activity, nothing. But you are not dead. Even the pure awareness, the consciousness, all no more. Everything cease, goes into cessation. Then when the form and mind come out of the cessation, it will know how all this creation start. How from the source, the consciousness arise, then split into three. Then one go to the brain and animate the brain and start again. Then how you function as a human being, you can see all this. Then the other part go to the heart and develop the heartbeat and other things, the life force. Then the other part, of course, will go to your main chakra at your Tan Tien there to give you the energy to move around. Then this, what they call mind, which is responsible for your conscious moment, they are supported by your life force. Life force. Life force means your karmic force, supportive karma. And this life force, you can feel them at your heartbeat there. Pupa, pupa. These are the life force that keep on coming to sustain the form and mind. And because of all this condition, that form and mind become like real, animated, arise already. That's why it's condition arising, dependent originating. All this, you will start to understand them and see them. Okay? Can follow, eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. You see, from a simple question, you can develop so much understanding. But this is what she really want to find out. If you are so like paisaya, but your thought is paisaya, you scared you ask the wrong question, people laugh at you. No such thing. I already told you, it's not the question. You have to arise the condition. Whatever you're not sure, you can just ask. Don't be shy. That's why I make full use of the condition. While this form of mind still exists, whatever you want to know, you can ask. Okay? Anybody else? You can just report your meditation. No need to worry about right and wrong. Because this is the session where you can ask whatever you want about meditation, the teaching, and develop whatever understanding. The inquiry mind is very important. If you don't ask, there is no condition for Dhamma to flow. Okay, anybody else? The other way to help you develop the question is when you cultivate on your own at home, whatever question you have, write it down, understand? Or whatever experience you have, you write it down. Like we can recall haircut that time. Because if you contemplate and reflect, then you try out, you will have the question, because you will have the understanding that when you share, I can explain clearer, so that you can develop the understanding. The Dhamma is like that. Without condition, nothing arises. Then you don't cultivate until that point of understanding. This nature cannot share with you the deeper part. The deeper understanding. If you all may recover, recall 5-6 years ago, you remember? You go and check the recording, you will recall. There were many occasions that this nature hinted to you all. What I have taught you all is just the initial Dhamma. What this nature understands is a lot more, but condition is not there for all this teaching to be shared. English, yes.
During the briefing of the Guilin trip, so fortunate. Together with Guan Chi, have this small talk with Sister Mimi. She advised we all should read up the Six Petra
Sutta,
platform Sutta before we go to the trip. Since I have the opportunity now, I would like to share that after I read through the Chinese version, the Mandarin version,
it's different.
I didn't read this book. But now I turn to this page. This page of 230. Page 230. I was all the while having this doubt on how to take across all sentient beings the Bodhisattva path. So after I read this, I was happy. clear my doubts. And then the first night sharing in China, asked again the question.
Yes, correct.
So these four phrases really make me realize that this. All beings or living beings, you see the italic version. Living is inside us. It's inside our own mind or nature. It's not really that if I take the Bodhisattva path, I have to take across other beings.
Yeah.
First hurdle is I must take across myself.
Yes. That's why the second vow will tell you that you have to have the ability to save yourself, free yourself. You must have the ability to endure and severe all these actions. If you yourself cannot make it, you cannot do it. So the first vow is to develop love and compassion for you to come back. You understand? And this vow, like Engby said, the living being is the form and mind within that consciousness. And there is no real living being. That's why there is no mind. Then when you vow to take a cross, doesn't mean you have to go all out and like kepo, take everybody. No, no condition, nothing happened. Do you understand? When there is condition, when you are ready, even like what happened to my nature, after 1989, when I was ready, you think I go around and take people across? No, I didn't do anything for 15 years, like winning with hunters, until condition arise. Then when condition arise, when Yun Chan came, you read the website, you will know. I rejected her 3 times. Then I set the condition, then I came out. Then when I came out, the condition just fall into place, means thing is meant to be. When there is condition, this nature will know what to do. That's why finally, like this year, we have evolved very, very beautifully. And this year is very special, our gathering of Kayanamita, because we achieve a very important year of tremendous significance. There are 3 major milestones that we achieved this year. And this year is very unique because after the Bodhisattva, we started in the year end of 2014, I remember. Then this year, suddenly, the website came out. And you can ask NB, they are in the committee. We did it within less than a month. That's why this year we are going to express our gratitude towards the people who helped us to develop it. Brother K.L. Lau and the wife, and Chin Hao's sister too, who initiated the idea and sent the email, which was very clear. Then we also not only launched the website, we also launched our book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. Then the third milestone we achieved is, because of the way the sharing come about, the Bodhisattva Way over the last 2 to 3 years has been firmly established. And now, cultivator of the way can really develop them. And if you go and read our website again, our objective and all those things about us and all those things, the concept of Kayamita, I tell you, you will have a completely different understanding. And all this, before I came out to share, my nature already had this understanding, and this is what it wants to achieve and realize. And now everything is falling into place. You go and read. It's so beautiful. There are so much information there. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Anything else, Amy? You want to continue? Yeah.
Just want to read out the Chinese version that make me clear my doubts. Is it? 善知识，大家不是说众生无边誓愿度吗？这么说，这就不是我来度你们了。善知识，心中众生就是所谓的邪迷心、狂妄心、不善心、嫉妒心。 恶毒心
yeah.
All the
evil roots
如是等种种不善的心都是心中的众生
Correct
大家应该自信自度
yeah.
这才叫做真度
Sadhu
so
yeah. This was in the sutta
yeah,
These are the evil roots mind state that will keep you in samsara Do you understand? 轮回 So these are the living beings the negative mind states of living being that trigger of the grasping, the clinging, and the perpetual rebirth, the coming and the going. That's why when you understand, when you take the vow, it becomes different. You will know that there is no living being to even take a cross. Because these are the conditions within the conditioned world. And you will manifest as a form of mind through a vehicle and a tool to come and allow the vow to do its work. Because while taking this vow, it will arise a causes and condition for your form of mind to continuously perfect yourself. That's why your cultivation will move on its own because of the vow, the right view, the right understanding, the aspiration, and the affinity that you have established based on the understanding of this cultivation. And these are the bodhisattva way that will continuously evolve over the period of existence that the condition will continue to evolve. And different bodhisattva, they come, the basic vow are all the same. It's just like Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching. The basic teaching of all Sammasambuddha is the same. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasambadan sacitta pariyotapatam etang buddhana sasana. Means all Buddha teach the same. Avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. So the essential Dhamma is the same. Yeah. But the way it can be taught and propagated depend on the individual. So the Bodhisattva way is the same. The four basic vows of a Bodhisattva, the three set of pure precepts, they are essentially very, very universal, basic. But the additional vow, miscellaneous vow, the additional understanding, the individual Bodhisattva will evolve it out. Because everyone is different. Then all the Buddhas that have done it before, they are example for you to follow. That's why you look at the vows of all these great beings, they are all very unique. If they can do it, for normal being, it's no more problem. Especially Amitabha Buddha, he got 48 Da Yuan, great vows. And each and every of these vows has got something to do with the pure land he wants to create. See? Because of that, he is a very, very unique Sammasambuddha. And if he can realize his vow, there is no other Sammasambuddha who cannot. And that's also the reason why he took the longest time to perfect them all. Okay? Yeah, this is very good. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, I rejoice. That's why when you have the understanding, your faith becomes different. And you will go all out to cultivate this understanding. The Mandarin words are more powerful. It stand out. If you know Mandarin, is an advantage, really. But when they translate into English, you got nobody to explain to you. It's very difficult for the English educator to understand. Because these are so dry. And the problem is, they translate literally, you know. Literally, you know, word for word. Like San Jing Si, or good knowing advisor. San Zi Si. Oh, you call it San? San Zi Si. Good knowing advisor. You read the English, you don't know what he's trying to tell you. Advisor, someone got good knowing. Advisor means somebody who advise you. But good knowing means this person has the Dhamma. San Jing Ji Si. Then there is a lot of other beautiful Dhamma that words cannot express unless they are Dhamma words. And the good thing about Mandarin is they take one word from each side and they combine. Then the meaning becomes exceptionally meaningful. Like true emptiness is wonderful existence. 真空妙有 the two words 妙有 is two separate words 哦、妙 is wonderful 有、is existent、then you combine the two then the meaning stand out on、but if the English word、existent wonderful existent means whatYou cannot understand. Well, wonderful in the English context can be very diverse in meaning. Understand? Wonderful. Yeah. Wow, you're a very wonderful person. It doesn't mean you're a good person. Wonderful can be you are humorous or you are. But the word miao is actually not a direct translation of wonderful. Miao is.奥妙 from the word 奥妙 very beautiful、yeah. and the word wonderful cannot describe it 、yeah. 真空 true emptiness、so there is a lot of this、what they call、Dhamma language、yeah? which the Mandarin word can explainin a much clearer way that if you know Mandarin you really have a lot of advantages、but even you don't know Mandarin you don't worry you can learn、like I'm English educated、I also learn、I only need to know the meaning of the Mandarin word the moment I know the meaning I will understand the Dhamma inside there it's just like one of the chapter remember the Bhikkhuni?He asked Hui Ning. Hui Ning said, I cannot read. I'm illiterate. You read to me. Then I can explain the teaching to you.、Oh. That Bhikkhuni was so surprised、and so full of joy. Wow, how wonderful, he said. Illiterate yet can explain to me, he said, the true meaning of the Buddha Dhamma.、Very good. Sadhu, Engbi. Yeah.Anybody else or anything else?、we got another 18 minutes.、today, a lot of time.、we asked Queenie. She just came back from Anandagiri. Queenie, come share your Anandagiri experience.、
Anandagiri was my first.
Oh, okay. The first trip to Anandagiri, Sadhu.
They were all together about 31 of them.
Yeah. Quite a big group. Yeah. Yes.
It was really a very happy time all the time.
Yeah, a lot of joy. Yeah.
But we have to.Get up very early in the morning every day.
Yeah. Katina is like that.
Especially in Bangkok, when you want to go to Rangyong, we have to get up at 3 o'clock
Yes. Normal. People who go to Thailand for retreat or what.
But then
they wake up very early.
When we went to Longpo Anand Temple, I was really amazed at the.Hugeness of the temple.
Yeah, the temple is very big. Yeah, because he got his parami.
There were so many monks there.
Yes.
And actually, when it was time for them to have their food.
Yeah.
And by the time it was after, there was practically not much left for us.
Yeah.
But it was still very nice.
Yeah.
And Longpo Anand was very.Kind to have us in his office.
Yeah, I saw the photo, yes.
And he was very happy also to have us there.
Yeah, he liked Malaysian. He told Yun Chan.
Because Joyce told him that PJ. Mr. So donated a lot to Anandagiri and he said, next time you donate to us.
yeah. Sadhu, yeah.
Trip in Anandagiri, we spent 4 days there.
Yeah.
Every day we dip in the park.
Yeah. you make offering.
The villagers there, they are very nice people.
Yeah, poor but very generous and
very
generous. kind
and
Thai people.
They even went to extend to buy a lot of Christmas food.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
All of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. You will come to understand the Thai culture more and more. Because Thai people are very...
Anandakiri, the new platform for meditation,
yeah,
was
yeah,
so beautiful.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah. We are reincarnated.
Yeah.
The whole of that meditation platform together with the three statues of the three great beings, we get to donate and consecrate the place. That's why we were given all the conditions. Then by the time you all are there, the platform also was completed. Now it's only the, what they call the stupa part. The one that he put up the images of the four great beings of the Mahayana tradition and Sakyamuni Buddha's life history murals. They were all very nicely and beautifully carved and developed. And by next year, it should be fully completed. So next year, it seems is Mimi and family has undertaken to be the Katina sponsor for Malaysian group. Then Joyce approached me, and I said, "This year you all go, I will go next year." So next year, 2018, I will lead the can meet us there. Mm. So you all can partake if you want to. Yeah. That place is very, very beautiful too. Very unique. And because of our affinity, every year can meet us are there. Then I normally go alternate year, except for 1 year, twice in a row. Then the rest is alternate year. See condition how. The year before this, I went because Mike was the sponsor. Mike family, Michael Lu family. Very good. Then did you all meditate? Oh yeah. No, it's okay. You just put my head in front of your mouth.
Yes, we did meditate many times.
No. The recording cannot capture you. It's okay. You don't point it to your mouth. You just put like just now. Put it straight now. Then speak into
it.
So,
and at the Katina day itself, actually everything was so nicely done. They put grilled banana trees.
Yeah.
Coconut.
Yeah.
And when we was about to, almost about to start, it started to rain.
Yeah.
And
so this year is in open air some more?
Yeah, open air. In the new platform.
Yeah.
And all the things have to move back to the temple. And we had it carry out there.
Oh, you all move back to the old place on the hilltop.
Yeah.
On the hilltop.
The
car park there. The place you park your car.
Yeah.
Yes.
The main
yeah, the main shrine. That was the place that they usually use.
But 2 days earlier, we actually, the villagers this year, they planted all the marigolds.
Yeah.
And they bloom at the right time.
Wow.
And they send all up to the temple and we thread and make garlands.
Yeah.
And we decorated the whole temple with flowers.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so beautiful.
Sadhu. Yeah. So this year you all did a lot of things, huh? But it's more on the preparation part.
Katina, the store, they had all the food was so nice.
Yeah. Because they were...
Give a lot of food.
Yeah.
Too much.
They were so generous. And every year
generous.
They had... they have a lot of offering.
You ask for ice cream one scoop, they give you two scoop.
Yeah. Then during Katina, after Katina come out, there's a lot of store outside.
Yeah.
A lot of food to sample and to
It's very
eat.
Different from the Katina over in Malaysia.
Oh, definitely. Here, the Katina is offering of rope, offering of rope. No, that side, real Katina, only one Katina rope, white Katina rope. And because co-sponsor, Thai side got one, Malaysian side got one. And this is the original tradition of Katina. Ours here has become different, modified already. Everybody want to bring that tray, the whole complete tray with the rope and everything. Then sometimes you see people so keen to just offer. It's not to say you cannot have that faith, the joy to offer, but you have to develop the understanding of all this. If you know how to rejoice, that is a lot better, understand not? But the moment you pledge or offer, you already offer. Whether you physically do it or not is not important. But some people need to have that as a faith. No harm. You can go and make the offering. But always remember, if you are mindful of what you are doing, then you will achieve maximum benefit from the offering. Otherwise, I have seen people full of faith, very enthusiastic, but lack understanding. And you know what they do? On that day, Katina day, they bring the offering. Sometimes it's the food and other things. Then the main tray, let's say you sponsored already, you donated the amount, and you're supposed to be one of the main, the sponsor that will offer the main tray. But because that day, maybe there is too many people or a lot of confusion, sometimes not enough tray, then they forgot about you or miss you out. Then you become unhappy. That type of mind state will give you problem. So it's not about the actual offering. It's about your understanding of what Katina means. You already have the parami, the understanding, the generosity. Whatever you decide to offer, you already offer. And when you rejoice, you will receive a lot more. Then sometimes if you can just give your tray to somebody who don't have a chance to offer, and they offer with joy and faith, you will reap a lot more. Because this is true generosity. When we were in Thailand, I remember, on a few occasions, Wat Pat Nanachat and also Wat Pat Phong, Achan Cha's village place, and the Western disciple of Achan Cha. So when we were there, one of the spiritual trips, we didn't know it was Katina Day, you know, on that day, until when we were there. Then we saw a lot of Thai people bringing the rope and other things to offer. Then when they come to know that we are Malaysian, there are at least five or six of the Thai people, they offer their rope that they bring to our Thai Malaysian devotee. They just say, you offer, because you all come from so far. That's how the understanding make you different. Then this nature will rejoice that it will send its pure wish and other things, because there were conditions. Then when we were at this Achan Mahapoa's place, same, that time he hasn't passed away when we went there. So the condition was such, the spiritual trip when I went with Kanamivas, I think that time was with Cindy and Mossy, then Mandy was also there, Wong Phuk Chai, they were there, then Phuk Chai's wife. And that morning was extraordinarily early, like you say, we woke up very early, then we came all the way, then we reached there just in time for Pindapat. They have their Pindapat. Then they get ready for offering. And before that, the morning, it was December, very cold, but very nice weather. So we were there early. Then when we came down, as we feel the chill, the serenity, the tranquility, there was this store outside, a lot of food store, free food. And we remember they got this porridge, hot and nice, very, very nice porridge, the soup especially. So we had that. Then they got the Thai one, tong soya, or tap kim krop and all those things. Then they got their Thai delicacy and all those things. And it was so meaningful. Then we get to join in the Pindapata. After finish, we join the monks. After the monks have their food, then the lay people have their food. Then we also part sponsor part of the Katina food. We get a local Thai people to help us to organize. Then she help us to make the offering to the Sangha. Then we partake. So these are the conditions that will arise. Then we will have the understanding and the faith. You just rejoice. Then people will feel you. The Thai people like us, even the monks. They like us. They know we are different. We are completely different. Okay, good. Sadhu. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we might as well end. Four more minutes, because today I got to go back early a bit. My classmates are visiting me. Friends and classmates are visiting me. I had a dinner with them. Then I also need to send something to my sister who is at home. She forgot her key. She left it in my car. So I had to go back and pass the car key to her. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. And we will delegate and share these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Etta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Hidang Menyatinang Hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatinang hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatinang hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Sakyamuni Buddha, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.